Hi, everybody. It's Amanda. We are sitting down today with a controversial topic again, and we're going to discuss masks again and a few other things. But I wanted to introduce you to someone very passionate, very outgoing, and a real leader in this community. So I'm going to turn it over to him. I'm going to let him introduce himself to you and his organization, and we'll start from there. Okay?
Hi, everybody. I'm Chris Sky. I'm the creator of MAD. It's Mothers Against Distancing. And we have a Facebook group and a webpage. The Facebook group is just MAD, M-A-D. And the webpage is www.getmad.online. And Mothers Against Distancing is basically a grassroots but international massive awareness and education campaign to educate mothers and fathers about the detrimental effects that social distancing will have on their children, especially in an academic setting for a prolonged period. Psychological and physiological, but primarily psychological. Excuse me one second.
That's okay.
He's getting scared. One of our rescuers. So yes, sorry about that.
That's okay.
So we're about educating mothers and fathers about the detrimental effects that the education system will have with the social distancing measures in place, as well as the public and private healthcare facilities, because they have the similar social distancing measures in place. Even if you're paying a premium for the high quality private care facility, if you want to visit your loved one, it doesn't matter what type of problem they have. They could have dementia. They could have Alzheimer's. Everyone has the same protocol. You either have to take a COVID test or 2-week isolation prior to your visit. All of them have to be monitored. So you do not get any alone time with your loved one. They have their caregiver right beside them the entire time. So if your loved one has a problem communicating, if your loved one is being neglected, if your loved one is being abused, there's no way they can convey that to you because the person is literally right there. Everybody has to wear a mask. How is someone with dementia, Alzheimer's, or any type of degenerative disease going to even recognize the person they're talking to? You also have to remain 6 feet apart at all times. So we have people with these conditions where touch is literally vital to their survival and their well-being, and they literally can't touch their own family, like, yeah, at all, ever, period. Yeah. It's insane, and they have to be outside. So these are just the measures for the public and private healthcare facilities. So you can imagine how devastating it is to families. And you can imagine how devastating it will be to have tens of millions of children in these new psychological trauma centers they're calling public schools for over a decade. They literally won't even be able to walk through a doorway unless there's a little dot on both sides and somebody to tell them when it's safe. It's insane. And that's what they want. They want to breed. We have this massive compliance in society already, and they want to breed that into the children like tenfold higher, to the point where literally they will not do anything unless they're told to do it. And yeah, that's what we're seeing. That's what this whole agenda. It starts with the masks. Mandatory masks become mandatory contact tracing, which becomes mandatory vaccination, which they will use as a precursor for travel, for school, for going to a concert, a Leafs game, et cetera, et cetera. That's the plan if we don't speak up. And that's what Mothers and Dance Distancing is about informing everybody all around the world what's going on. And we got nonprofit status in Canada officially on July 22nd. That's Aria, by the way. And we're now trying to make MAD go into the United States. My wife is an American citizen, so we're going to be registering MAD as a nonprofit under her name. I have Dr. Tenpenny, who I did her show on Monday, and she agreed that she wants to be a MAD board of director for the United States. Amazing. So we're going to have her on the board, which we couldn't have anybody better for credibility and for information. It's incredible. So we're really making headway. And our new initiative is in Ontario, Canada. They said now that masks are going to be mandatory in schools for any children grade 4 and above. Absolute insanity. So we're trying to find another option for the kids. So we went across the OFIS, Ontario Federation of Independent Schools, and we looked at how to create independent private schools, basically modeled after small home schools. A private school only needs 5 children, 1 teacher, 1 principal, and a location. So our plan is to register one of these schools somewhere in the GTA. I already have a couple prospective locations. I just don't want to mention them yet until they bear fruit.
Very smart.
But we do have some prospective locations, three of them actually, within the GTA. And we're looking to get one open as soon as possible with all the registrations and everything in place. And then we can use that as a model to emulate a private school system for all of Ontario. So we can get thousands, if not tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of kids out of the public school system and into a new system. And we're seeing interest. And we're not seeing interest just from the homeschooling crowd. We're seeing interest from the people who want to stay home, the people who want to wear a mask, but they still understand that putting their kids in that environment is not healthy for their children. A lot more dangerous than COVID, which hasn't killed one child in all of Canada. So we are getting a massive, massive response. We got over 35,000 Facebook members in about 3 weeks, and then Facebook disabled our counter. They banned me off of Facebook. I have to appeal the decision. I'm going to be back on in 5 days, hopefully.
Nice.
We had somebody steal my phone last week, and the first thing they did was hack our Instagram account and try to take it over by resetting the password, emails, and everything else. So they're really doing a number trying to silence us, because we've been getting a lot of public attention. We did the TTC protest on July 7th was the day that masks became mandatory in downtown Toronto. So we started the I don't want to call it anti-mask, because that's not what we are. We're not anti-mask. I approve of mask wearing in many circumstances. Like if you're sick, for instance, and you can't stay home, you need to go out, I would suggest you wear a mask and not a stupid cloth mask, an N95 medical respirator or better, so you can actually protect yourself and the people around you. If you're in a medical care facility and you're working there, you should definitely be wearing a respirator. And if you're working with elderly and stuff, you should definitely be wearing a respirator. But if you're a normal, healthy, functioning person with no symptoms, wearing a mask is detrimental to your health. It's not helpful for you. And we're not supposed to wear a mask in detriment to our own health to make the person across from us feel more comfortable. No, we're supposed to do what's best for our own health, just like they are. So we're not anti-mask. We're anti-mandatory medical procedures, because that's what this is. Wearing
health
the mask.
Freedom.
Exactly.
Health it's freedom.
Your health freedom. And everybody knows freedom is essential. I say that all the time, and it's not a tagline. It's
no,
the truth.
It's not.
If without freedom, there's no successful and content society anywhere in the world. And they try to tell us that during an emergency that our freedoms can be suspended or they can be altered or they can be taken. No, 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 no. During an emergency, our freedoms are even more important, because in an emergency situation, that's the only thing that's keeping our cohesive society together is our freedoms and our way of life. So they're undermining that. And that's what we're against with the so-called anti-mask thing. And the way we wanted to fight it was to show everybody it's not really mandatory. When they say it's mandatory, that's just a bylaw. It's more of a suggestion. There's no law. There's no punishment. So we decided we're going to show everybody by bringing everybody on the TTC, men, women, and children, and getting everybody to claim they had a medical condition so they couldn't legally be denied service. We got some really good public awareness. John Tory had to do a press conference and let everybody know what we were doing, because they were getting so many calls to the city trying to shut us down. So he literally had to go on live TV and tell everybody what I was doing was perfectly legal and they would not be able to deny us service. So sure enough, we went to Dundas Square, downtown Toronto, all the mainstream media. We did the protest successfully. It got all over TV and now everybody knew that masks weren't really mandatory. So we wanted to hammer it home. So I came up with a campaign that would be able to fund our charitable organization to get the incorporation for a charity and nonprofit, as well as generate the awareness we need. So I came up with creating our own face mask exemption cards.
And which are fabulous, by the way.
Thank you.
I've got mine in my car. I carry it with me wherever I go.
That was the original one. It's been changed because it had a Red Cross on it, and the Red Cross actually complained to me. So I told them I'm going to replace it with a Black Cross.
They said, I've got the Black one.
Yes. And I've given out thousands of these cards because everybody wants them, because everybody understands that their freedom is essential. And a lot of people just don't want to speak up. Canadians are too nice. We're too apathetic. We're non-confrontational.
Yeah.
So they don't want to walk into a store without the mask and have someone say, why don't you wear a mask? And they have to say, oh, I have a medical condition. No. But when they pull out the card and it says it for them, it solved a lot of problems. It created a ton of problems for the government to the point where they actually had to add a section to the mask bylaw called face mask exemption cards. And they tried to tell everybody they're fake. They were calling me a fraud, a scam artist, a con artist. But they're not fake.
The exemption is the law.
Thank you. And the exemption is the law in Canada, the United States, Australia, most of the European Union, everywhere. So these cards are not only valid here, they're valid everywhere. And it could be a card with my face on it. As long as it says I have a medical exemption, that's all it needs to say. Yeah. So that's what we wanted to get out to people, not just to the people, but to the businesses. Because the businesses were not told. Toronto Public Health just gave out flyers that said masks are mandatory. They did not mention the exemptions. They do now. Have you seen the updated ones for Toronto?
I haven't. And our community also has those signs with no mention of the exemption. I've been in one store and have told them and said, there's a different one online. Maybe you should put that on to avoid conflict with anybody coming in. That's the problem. It's the conflict between the uneducated in this bylaw and the educated.
100,000%. And that's why I took the initiative straight to public health, because it's their job to inform the public health. It's not the business's job to enforce bylaws. It's not their employees to enforce bylaws on the customers. It's up to public health to provide the correct information to everybody so everybody knows the law and it's just respected. But they intentionally did that because they wanted the confusion. They wanted the confrontation because they wanted the people to be scared into wearing the mask. And that's why, and divided. And they wanted the people arguing with each other. They wanted that conflict to the point that, what did they get? We got a 73-year-old man that got shot and killed because he showed up to a freaking grocery store without a mask. And he ended up pulling out a screwdriver. And the cop shot him dead on his own driveway. All started because he didn't wear a mask.
Right. Ridiculous. But they're still saying that he was armed. That's the worst part of it. There was no clarification.
I asked the cop specifically. I was talking to him face to face. And they told me he was supposedly armed with a screwdriver. So I messaged public health. I created a flyer as well that we were giving out to businesses. And it said, masks are mandatory in most of Ontario. However, medical exemptions are honored. So if you have a medical condition, feel free to remove your mask without informing our staff. Boom. Just like that, the business puts it up on their wall. If a bylaw officer comes in and sees someone not wearing a mask, they cannot fine the business because they have to assume that person has a medical condition.
Yes.
They do not need anyone watching their door now to tell you to put a mask on. And anybody who goes in the store could choose to wear a mask or not without having to say anything. So I sent that to public health in a scathing email saying that you need to make a public statement, first of all, to let everybody know that there's a bylaw and the exemption needs to be honored. One. Number two, here's a perfect example of how to update your flyer. If you want, they had my MAD logo on it. I'm like, I will even fund making your own with your own logo, and I'll have people deliver it to the businesses for you. Then I showed them that how in the United States, big companies like Walmart, Lowe's, Home Depot, Walgreens, CVS, they all abolished the mandatory mask law because they said it was not worth the conflict they were getting with their employees and their customers. And it's not. Where are you getting people fighting when they're just trying to spend money in your store? Makes absolutely no sense. So the idea of mandatory masks makes no sense. And the perfect example of how you know it has nothing to do with our health and safety and everything to do with control, the government exempted themselves from the law.
100%.
How do you?
Required in government buildings, federal buildings, provincial buildings.
So even the so-called mainstream media like CTV, they're government employees. And that's how you know, because they don't even have to wear a mask at the CTV building because it's considered a federal building.
But they will for the camera.
Yes. They'll put the
camera.
Just for you.
Yeah.
Just for you and the selfie. But they definitely aren't wearing it. Just like if they travel, they don't have to worry about testing. They don't have to worry about contact tracing. They don't have to worry about quarantine. Isn't it funny how all the things that are supposedly for our safety that we have to give up our freedom for are perfectly safe for the government? So yeah, it has nothing to do with safety. It has to do about control, and it's about a progression of control. And once again, it's going to be the masks to the contact tracing, which they're already pushing everywhere. Have you gone to a bank recently? Have you gone to a restaurant recently? What's your name? What's your number? No, thank you.
No, thanks.
They already said 1 million people downloaded that app in Canada, the contact tracing app. Hopefully,
people realize the extent to what that's going to hurt their livelihood.
They have no idea. They think they're helping. They don't understand that it gives up your entire privacy rights.
And everyone in that phone.
Yeah. You're literally handing over your entire life to the government. Because now they can target you. Because they know everywhere you went. So if you went to this restaurant on Friday, and you're a well-known person that they happen to want to censor, how hard is it for them to say a week later, oh, someone was at that restaurant that tested positive for COVID, so now you got to be quarantined for 2 weeks, or go take a test, and we'll make sure it's a false positive, so you're going to be quarantined for 2 weeks, one way or the other.
Yep.
And that's 100%. Where people want to live, that every single place you go to, you got to live in fear that you're going to get a call in a couple of days, and now you got to stay home, miss work, miss whatever other engagements you have. It's absolutely ridiculous. And the fact that Canadians are going along with it, if they have any idea of where it's heading, just look at Melbourne, Australia.
Exactly. And did you see the Global News article from last night about that, the curfew expert agreeing with an 8 p.m. to 5 a.m. curfew?
Obviously going to try to emulate everything they did in Melbourne over here, because they know that Canadians are just as apathetic and weak. Yeah. And in Melbourne now, you can't even go more than 5 kilometers away from your house. You're allowed to go out once a day for exercise or groceries. Not both, one or the other. And then they're going to change it to once a week, they're saying. Ridiculous.
That's terrifying.
Yes, and that's people will terrifying. Still go along with you. That's the scary part. They'll call the police on you if they see you out and about. That's the mentality we have right now in society, because everybody's scared. They want you to act like everybody is infected at all times. Everyone around you is going to kill you. Yep. In reality, the chance of somebody having it right beside you is 1 in 10,000. There's 4,000 active cases in COVID in all of Canada, is almost 40 million people. So everything they tell is a lie. It's all based on an exaggeration of a disease that has a very, very low death rate, a very high survivability rate, hasn't even killed one child in the entire country, but we're supposed to revamp our entire school system and traumatize our children for life.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. And that's why MAD is catching on. MAD is catching on huge because people understand. And unlike Hugs Over Masks, which sounds like an ominous name, now with the mandatory mask, they can demonize it and make it sound villainous and make it sound even militant.
Right.
But how do you do that with Moms Against Distancing? You can't. And that's why the best thing they do is to try to ignore me, or they try to talk about me and the way I look. But they can never talk bad about the organization, what we stand for, or what we're trying to do. Because all we're trying to do is educate parents, protect their children, and hopefully get people mad. Because we want them mad. Because when you're mad, you're not scared. When you're mad, you will act. And act in the best interest of you and your child. So the longer they stay scared and the longer they stay ignorant, they're just going to go along with whatever they're told. Because when someone's terrified and they don't know what's coming, if you act as the authority figure and say, oh, do this, this, and this, and you'll be safe, the majority are going to follow you if they trust you. And that's what we're seeing. We're seeing everybody trusting the government, who's doing nothing but lying, extending everything, expanding everything, even though COVID is gone. It's peaked a long time ago.
Our hospitals double speaking, so you don't know which side to believe.
Exactly.
They'll tell you the truth, but then they'll throw something else in there that contradicts what they've said. So now you still have to be scared just in case.
Of course. Like they did before. Before it was flatten the curve, aka don't overwhelm the hospitals. Okay, newsflash. Ontario has 493 hospitals. We have less than 100 COVID patients in those hospitals. I don't think our hospital is overwhelmed. We could fit all the patients in maybe 2 or 3 of our 493 hospitals. So there goes that. So now they're focusing on so-called cases, which is people that they've tested multiple times that they're counting more than once. They expanded testing to like 6 times the amount of people that they were testing a couple weeks ago. And we know that there's a high incidence of false positives, up to 50% rating of false positives.
And that's the low end, because originally it was 80%.
Exactly.
Remember? So we're going to use the low end for people that are not buying it.
Giving them the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah.
Even with that, under those circumstances, you could test 50,000 random people, any country, any day of the year, and you're going to show at least or 200 so-called COVID cases. And they're telling us that as long as there's COVID cases, they're going to keep us locked out. They already released the article and Dr. Tam saying, oh, when the vaccine comes out, it's not a silver bullet. So even when the vaccine comes out, we're still going to have all the social distancing measures. You're still going to be wearing a mask. You're still going to have to be contact traced. So what are you getting the vaccine for?
Exactly. That's new technology.
Oh, yeah. And you get it twice a year. That's the best idea.
Exactly. Starting at babies.
Yeah.
Babies.
Yeah. And it's a vaccine that they made in 10 to 15 months when a normal vaccine takes 10 to 15 years.
Years.
With 3 to 5 years before it's even injected into a human being. Meanwhile, they want to inject literally the entire planet with one of 160 in development, untested, unproven, definitely not proven safe vaccines. And what are they going to do? Play Russian roulette with everybody. Why? Because they can't get sued. They have complete immunity. And it makes absolutely no sense. We have over 10 million children in Canada. Not one of them died of COVID. If you inject all 10 million of them with these random COVID vaccines, a couple of them are going to die. And that means the vaccine was that many times more deadly than the disease.
Absolutely. And don't forget that the trials, they had the epitome of healthy people in here. And it still failed and made majority of them sicker than they've ever been in their entire life. But that's okay, because we're just going to move along.
Of course.
Right? And remember, there is zero liability for these companies, you guys. So there is no undoing this one. The new technology with the hydrogel, whatever, there is no undoing. There is no detoxing. This goes into your body and attaches to your DNA and can alter your DNA. There is no detox from this. No. And Gates has predicted at least over 700,000 injuries from this vaccine already of his own mouth. And that is probably the very low end. So keep that in mind while you're doing your research.
Yep. Everything you said is 100% accurate. He's expecting about 1 million people to get side effects from these vaccines. Expecting. And that's after these clinical trials, like you said, show that none of the vaccines work. In fact, they just made people sick. And in some cases, even where they did it with animals, it killed a whole bunch of monkeys when they injected it into them. Yep. But no, let's inject that into our children for a disease that hasn't killed any of them. But we're going to, and like you said, they're using all these experimental new technologies like the hydrogel. And most people don't even understand what that is.
No, it sounds safe.
Oh, yeah, it sounds so great. NBC News did a fluff piece on it to try to tell everybody how great it is. They said, your new vaccine is going to come with a pinch and a zap. Even I know a lot about vaccine. I'm like, what the hell does a pinch and a zap mean? Yeah. So I go to read it. And sure enough, they tell you that they're going to inject you with some nanotechnology that doesn't go all the way into your muscle, just subdermal under the skin.
Right.
And once it's in there, they have to zap you with an electrical current to turn on the AI nanobots so they can start to go to work, whatever the hell that means.
Yep. And I know a lot of you guys think that this is coming right out of a science fiction book. This is fact. You can find this on the internet. So anybody who wants to throw comments in there about conspiracy theorists,
pinch and zap. Type that in and all the mainstream articles will come up about this, trying to convince you how good it is for you. If you want to know what it's really about, just type in DARPA hydrogel and you can see where it came from. It was originally invented as a way to heal wounds in soldiers who got stabbed or shot. Right. They inject them with these so-called nanobots, nanotechnology, and they can be programmed to help to do different tasks. In this case, they would be programmed to help rebuild the area of trauma. So now they've adapted that to vaccine usage. They haven't even tried these anywhere except in trials that we haven't heard of, but they haven't tried it on a general population in any vaccine ever. And they're going to try it in an experimental vaccine like COVID, which we already know is similar to the flu in the way that the COVID changes and mutates. And what do we know about the flu? It's killed just as many people as COVID has killed this year. Only we vaccinate 90% of the population for it. And we should have some semblance of herd immunity since we deal with it on a regular basis for the last, I don't know, a few hundred years.
Yep.
So No, there's the vaccine makes no sense. There's no logical reason for it. There's no logical reason to use it. And there's definitely no logical reason to mandate it. Everything they're doing is about control. Everything, including the way they closed our businesses.
So let me ask you this. You mentioned the Toronto Public Health that you went after.
Yes.
Can somebody contact you to get in touch with how to communicate with their own public health and get maybe some areas to help? Because I know a lot of people don't know where to start.
I've been giving my flyer that I made for Toronto Public Health out to businesses in hard copy and as PDF all over the internet. So people can see it, use it as a template to give to their public health. I even included the number and email for Toronto Public Health on there because I was encouraging everybody to take a picture of my flyer, send it to public health and as an example of what we need, and reiterate either their experience where they got denied their medical exemption or just asking for public health to make the public health statement about honoring medical exemptions in general. So I encourage everybody to do that in every province and every state because it does make a difference. I did a live chat with Peggy Hall from California, and she's famous because what did she do? One little lady all by herself.
Yep.
She got Orange County, 3.5 million people, one of the most densely populated, highest populated areas of California, to remove the mandatory mask bylaw. Absolutely incredible. The only place in California that she got it done. I'm going to ask her actually to be a director of that as well, because California is very important to have on the map. And
yes,
I think she's very receptive because she was one of the people that gave me the idea to bring my nonprofits into the States to really give us a more unified and global approach.
She's an amazing lady.
She is fantastic. Oh my God. I love her.
She's an amazing lady. I'd love to sit down with her one day too. The fire in her belly is incredible.
She includes a lightning strike of energy just in her presence. She's very powerful.
Yep, no very kidding. Powerful. So we still don't know who our COVID experts are in Ontario, correct?
Of course,
we can't name our public health is listening to these experts that we can't know about.
Yep, we can't know who the experts are. We can't know what their data is. In fact, we had the support of an MPP. He used to be a conservative. He's now independent, Mr. Randy Hillier, MPP for Kingston. And he voted against the lockdown. And then he actually came out and supported our protests and everything that was going on. That same day, he tabled a thing called a transparency justification amendment. Now, this was supposed to get voted on by our little tiny legislature because Parliament suspended.
And during an emergency.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. And the idea of this amendment was when the government extends the emergency, they actually have to show us the data and tell us why. Very simple.
Yep.
Should be very easily received. Everyone in government should support that kind of transparency and accountability. What did they do? They waited till the last second of legislature and then forced it, the vote, as a secret ballot. So they got everybody just to write yay or nay anonymously on a little piece of paper, threw it in a friggin' thing, counted all the votes. Obviously, it was voted against. And then they voted against it in a way so you wouldn't even know who voted against it. So that was the ultimate in accountability. Getting the government to vote against giving the public the information and getting them to vote in a way so you wouldn't know which of your elected officials betrayed you.
Yep.
Absolutely disgusting.
It's absolutely disgusting.
And what did they do with the Bill 185 or 195? They extended it for the next 2 years. 2 years. And they told you, get ready, you're going to be wearing the mask for years. Doug Ford said it, Tam said it, everybody's saying it. But
what is it going to take to push people over the edge and realize the direction this is heading? This is not about a virus.
No.
Not anymore. I mean, I think we all did our part during the, you know, flatten the curve. I think we all bucked up and did it because we didn't know what to expect.
Yes.
But then the information started coming out.
Exactly.
And then people started reading it. And then the people that didn't start reading it started watching the news more, right? Just to make it easier.
What people need to understand is from the beginning of the get-go, they were going by models. A model is a figure that a scientist created. They made it up. So if I tell you I want a model that's going to show 500,000 people are going to die in Canada of COVID, I can create that for you in 5 minutes. it's a model. It doesn't mean it's real, but they made all their decisions based on these models, which we couldn't refute at the time because we had no data. But now, months into the pandemic, we have plenty of data that proves that A, it's not deadly. B, it's not as virulent as they thought. C, children are not super spreaders. In fact, they barely spread the virus. Yeah. D, like, there's just so much information that came out, but guess what? They ignore the data and they keep making these new models. And every decision they make to lock us down and take more freedom is based off these models, which is nothing but made up. It's not science. It's not data. It's not facts. It's literally made up hyperbole. And the people don't understand the difference between model, data. They use these wordplay. And the people are scared. And when they're scared, they can't even think straight as it is. Yeah. So they don't understand the difference, but it's a very big distinction. And we need to point that out to anybody listening, that a model is made up. Data is, okay, how many people are in hospital? How many people actually died? How many people are infected? We know those numbers now. So we have the data. And we know that places like Japan, they did not lock down. They did not close business. They did not mandate masks. They had less than 1,000 people die. How do you explain that?
Yeah. Exactly. It's absolutely mind-blowing. The fear that's propagated.
The fear is really bad, and it's also the stigma of going along with the group. We know from social experiments, there's that famous social experiment, I can't remember what it's called, but they get five people. Four of them are in on it. The other person is just a normal person they're doing the experiment to. They draw a line on a chalkboard. Then they draw three lines beside it. All different lengths. One of them is the same length as the original line. They get the four people in on it to all choose the wrong line and say that's the line that's the same size as the other one. The person in the experiment, the lone person out of five, knowing full well that the line is not the right line, will still choose the wrong line 30% of the time, knowing it's wrong, knowing it's a lie, but just because they do not want to go against the group. Now, if you apply that to a lie that's not even as obvious as two straight lines, different sizes, you get a lot more people than 30% going along with it. And that's what we're seeing. It's like massive brainwashing and massive psychological manipulation on a grand scale.
And don't you find it funny that the people that, like, when we say you're brainwashed, like, shut off your news, how mad they get?
Of course, because you're questioning their entire belief system. You're basically telling them you're an idiot and you got played for a fool. Who the hell wants to admit that? And you're telling them the government that you trust and love and think is your best friend is really your enemy and wants to destroy you and control you. So for most people, they don't want to believe it. And most people believe what they want to believe, not what's actually true. And most people can't even handle it. Yeah. Like they said, you can't handle the truth. And their ego just can't take it. So rather than admit they might have been taken for a ride.
Or like themselves.
Exactly. What do they do? They get angry at you for questioning their false paradigms.
Yep.
And that's how you know that person's brainwashed. There's a lot of people that are silent majority that are supportive and they understand what's going on, but they're afraid of losing their job or they're afraid of their social circle. Those are the people you can reach. Those are the people you can get on your team. Because once people are awake, they can't go back to sleep.
No. Yeah,
that's exactly the big thing. Like a lie needs to be told over and over and over again by as many people as possible. But once someone like me or you comes along and gives the people the truth, that resonates. They need to hear it once. So we're our goal with MAD, with Back to Work, my other nonprofit, with Hugs Over Masks, Vlad's group, we're trying to infect people with the truth.
Yep.
And that's what's going to wake everybody up.
And we have to show them where to go. This is the problem. People, especially the older generation, they're so used to getting their information from the mainstream, but the mainstream is now bought and paid for. You have to understand that, guys. It's bought and paid for by the federal government. So you're getting the one version, and it's the version they want you to know.
Yes.
And believe.
I've been on the news like every day for the past couple of months.
I wanted to ask you about that. Tell me about your news experience and how you've kept it from spinning in the wrong direction.
They always spin it in the wrong direction. The only thing is, every time they try to do something to me, I make it backfire because they always underestimate me. And their playbook is so transparent. They're all about leftist identity politics, all the stuff that doesn't really matter, political correctness, yeah. all the stuff that they use as distractions to control people and keep people silent and away from dissent. So when they try to use those tricks on me, I just plow right through them. If they try to make me look bad and they take a soundbite, what I say makes sense, so it backfires on them. If they try to talk bad about how I look because I have tattoos or I have blonde hair or I have muscles, people appreciate that because I don't look like the politician in the suit that's lying to them and just pushing an image. No, they're worrying about what I say. So I can tell you right now, you do not appreciate how fake and bull the media really is until you're the topic of it.
Yep.
When you're the topic of the media and you see what they say, like I gave an interview to CHCH in Hamilton. They would not leave me alone. In Hamilton, I went to the anti-mask rally. They were literally following me around. I have clips of CBC until I gave them an interview. And you could see me angrily walking with them and doing the interview with them because I had no choice. But I didn't want to do the interview because I could give them 20 minutes of gold. They won't say take anything of what I say. They'll just take a half quote to slander me. For instance, I gave a 20-minute long interview to CHCH because I never knew who they were. I thought maybe they'll give me a clean shake. I talked about my organization. I talked about the face mask exemption cards, what we were using them for the charity, everything basically I already told you. On the news, they put me on the news for 1 second just to say they put a picture of me speaking so I look like militant and dangerous because I got a big megaphone and my veins are popping out and my tattoos. Oh, my God, look at this guy. And they just referred to me as some guy selling fake cards for $5.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Speaking of those cards, before I forget, where can people get those?
Well, we had them online.
Yes.
And PayPal shut us down because we were getting up to 6 transactions a minute. So every 10 seconds, we were getting a transaction. So they thought there was something fraudulent going on, and they shut it down. So people are ordering them just for me directly. I was taking e-transfers and stuff and shipping them out to everyone I can. Because a lot of people, I was selling them for a $5 donation. And then a lot of people from like BC or other areas realized they have 100 people that want them. So I had people asking me for 100 of these, 200 of these. So if someone's going to buy a ball quarter, my thing is about getting the cards out there. I'm not trying to make money off them. They're going, all the money's going to my charity anyway. But I want every Canadian to have one of these so everybody knows what's going on. So for people that want bulk orders, I give a really big discount on the cards, pretty much basically what I pay for them plus the shipping, just so we can get them out there. And we've given out thousands and thousands of these cards. They've been on dozens of mainstream media to the point where, like, I couldn't even turn on the TV because every 5 minutes it was either me or my fucking card. Sorry. And then, sorry about that.
That's okay. We're good. No, I get it. I saw all the crap. As soon as they caught wind of that, they were trying to say that they were illegal and
never want to use the word illegal. That's the one word they never use. They use fraudulent, they use not endorsed, they use not registered, they use not created, but they could never say illegal and they could never say that they didn't work. They just tried to shame you from using it. Say, oh, don't be a scammer. That was Doug Ford. Oh, don't be a scammer. Don't use the card. Well, basically say, don't assert your rights. Don't pretend that freedom matters. Just roll over and play dead.
Yep.
The only thing that they kind of miscalculated is A, people like me that are waking people up. Because when tyranny goes like it's going as at full speed ahead, people wake up faster too. Because people notice, like if you try to tell everybody 6 months ago you're all going to be wearing masks, they'd call you a conspiracy theorist, tell you to put on a tinfoil hat, call you all the names in the book. Now,
I've been there for 6 years. I know.
Yeah, exactly. And now they're in denial that what's going on as it's happening. It's like, you know, they're not going to let you take that mask off. They just even told you you're going to be wearing it for years. Oh, no, it's no big deal. However, the thing is, for people, masks isn't really a big deal. The contact tracing, they're going to get less support. There's going to be the stupid people that go along with it, but less people are going to go along with the contact tracing than the masks. And that's why they're pushing the masks so hard, because they think if they can get everyone to go along with the masks, they can get a good portion to go along with the contact tracing. But it's not going to work like that, because people value their privacy more.
Yeah. Well, and also, if masks become such an inconvenience, the next step becomes a way to get rid of that inconvenience, right?
Well, that's what they're going to push it at, but they're going to say, no, no, we need this added level of protection because the masks aren't enough. The masks are slowing transmission, but if we really want to eradicate COVID, we need to better trace where people are getting sick and faster. That's going to be their selling point. And they're going to tell everybody how much safer and how much more secure they're going to be when they submit to the contact tracing. But it might work on half the people that the masks worked on.
Yeah.
And then when you go to the vaccine level, even less people are receptible to it. Even people that are normally receptible to vaccines are like, I'm not taking a vaccine that was made in a year. Anybody with logic is not going to want to take that. Like, you're injecting something into your body that they have no idea what it's going to do to you. Exactly. Literally. It's crazy. So mandatory masks or mandatory vaccines, I think they'll be able to get it in some provinces for the school children.
And I think I've heard they were going after Nova Scotia first for all mandates.
They went to New Brunswick and it failed, but it only failed by one vote. So
Bill 11.
Yes, and they already have the law tabled in Ontario. It's going to get voted on, and they didn't even mention it. And in Ontario, unfortunately, we're so liberal and left-leaning that I believe it's going to pass. And I'm a optimist, but I'm also a realist. And I think it's something that's going to pass, and we're going to have to fight because they're going to try to take away every type of exemption for the kids, not just for that, but just so they have more reason to demonize anybody who refuses the vaccine agenda in general. Because they don't really care. They want the kids, of course, but they want the adults too. They want to make
absolutely. 100%. And they will start with the teachers and the nurses.
Exactly.
And from then on, it'll trickle down. And it's coming. And it's not going to be just the COVID. Like, there are 200 new vaccines in the pipeline.
Yep.
And once they're mandated, you don't get to pick and choose anymore. You don't get the flu shot. Sorry. Guess what? You are this year. HPV. Sorry. Go get it.
Yep.
It's not up for debate. Your body is not your own.
That's what they want. They want to take away because if they can break that barrier of medical freedom, they own you. Literally. If you do not control what treatment they can give you, someone like you or me that speaks out against this, what's stopping them from just labeling us as crazy and bringing us over for a freaking chemical lobotomy? Absolutely nothing.
Well, that's the goal, right?
Exactly. They
want get rid of the free thinkers.
Exactly. They can target anybody they want on an individual basis for anything they want. Just like Stalin said, show me the man, I'll show you the crime. That's exactly where we're headed. And if people doubt that it's a communist-style takeover, just look what they did to the small businesses. That's my other nonprofit, Back to Work. And we were helping small businesses that were shut down, in my opinion, completely illegally by the government. Yep. When you're getting the government to choose who's supposedly essential and non-essential, that's literally textbook communism. Mm-hmm. When you have the government shutting down all the small business and then going to the larger businesses, any business in Ontario or Canada with $300 million or revenue or more, the government will happily loan you as much money as you need to survive the COVID crisis. You just have to give them a percentage of ownership in your business.
Exactly.
That's also communism. When the government is controlling the means of production, that is literally the definition of communism. Mm-hmm. And now they got us like right there. And the next thing they want to do is start slowly banning cash and getting us on a digital currency. Then they're going to get us on the social credit score like they have in China. Mm-hmm. So if you do a nice Zoom chat with someone like me and post it on your wall, your score is going to drop and you might not even be able to travel. You might not even be able to go to work.
Right. And this is not a conspiracy, you guys. This is already being looked at now.
It's like, already been done in China. They have that
exactly. And Melbourne, like, look at Melbourne. Just look, and history repeats itself, you guys. Like, just because you didn't live it doesn't mean it didn't happen. And it's happening now.
Well, look at all the other COVID policies. What do they all have in common? They roll them out globally. So what do you think? They're just going to stop with Melbourne and China? No, they want everybody to be Melbourne and China.
Yep. People need to put their feet down.
Exactly. My tagline is united non-compliance. And that's what I've been doing. I've been uniting everybody. That's why they hate me. That's why they demonize me, because I've been uniting everybody from all walks of life, all races, all sexual orientations, all ages. I even got the police to align with civilians, to align with the so-called homeless population in the country. I got everybody under the umbrella of, we need to stand up for our freedoms and we need to hold the government accountable. Because that applies to every single person, not only in Canada, but around the world. Absolutely. And it's the only way we can protect our country. It's the only way we can protect our children's future. And we have to do it as one voice together. Because as we saw, the government uses fear to control the populace.
Yes.
And for those they can't control with the fear, like me, you, and others, they use division to keep us fighting amongst each other and to keep our circles as small as possible, so our voices as small as possible. So how do they divide us? They divided us first by people scared of COVID versus people who are no better. People who are essential versus non-essential. People collecting CERB versus people not collecting it. Then they try to divide us by race, and you saw how effective it was in the United States, but thankfully in Canada, we've made it backfire on them every time they tried. So then what are they pushing now? Defund the police.
Yeah.
Why? They want to turn the police against the civilians and vice versa, because the police realize what's happening now too. They see their friends and family are having their businesses closed. They're being told that they have to wear masks. Their kids are being told they have to go to school in masks. They don't want this.
So and now they're being demonized for a small number that, you know.
Exactly. And now the government sees their own police force as a threat. What the government would love to defund the police. And they'd love to use that money that they save to make their own private security force.
Exactly. It's going to backfire.
Exactly. They don't.
It's going to backfire because there are people on the precipice of waking up to this. And they're trying to push it through so fast that I feel like people are almost there. They're almost there, but they just can't get over the ledge. There's going to be something that comes in the next little bit that...
We have to stand up to the masks. And as we're standing up to the masks and screaming, mandatory masks lead to mandatory contact tracing, they're going to look real fucking stupid when they try to push the mandatory contact tracing.
Yep. Yep, I agree.
That's what we need to get across to everybody, that it does not stop with the mask. The mask was like 2 weeks, their way in the door. And now that they got their way in the door, look, they're even telling people in the States you're going to have to wear goggles soon.
I know. I saw that. It's so ridiculous.
Are you kidding me right now? Pretty soon, everyone, you're not going to be allowed to leave your house unless you're in a full hazmat suit.
Yeah. I know. I'll wear my scuba gear.
Yeah. All right.
Or I won't at all.
I'm going to be trying to travel soon. I literally am going to go to the airport in a costume because there's nowhere I'm wearing a mask. I'll wear a face covering as part of my costume, but I'm not wearing a mask and I'm not going to fly anything. And I'm not going to walk around the airport like everyone's there to get me sick. I'm going to make a big joke out of it because to me, that's what COVID is. The consequences of the lockdown are exponentially worse than the consequences of the virus, both economically and health-wise. They ignore all the other health problems that the lockdown created. Suicides, up between 500 and 1,000%, depending on where you look. We have over 700 children under 15 that killed themselves since COVID started around the world. In Edmonton, we had an 8-year-old girl that she killed herself with a hairdryer in the bathtub. And she's 8 years old, and she left her mother a note that said, "Mommy, I'm sorry, but I don't want to be alone anymore."
Oh my God.
This was a child that was just living at home with her mother. Imagine the trauma when you have tens of millions of children in those social distance schools being kept apart from their friends and their family.
Hear it in the news, do you? Because God forbid we play against the narrative of just COVID.
Be scared of COVID, and do whatever we tell you. Touch to children, touch and affection to children is so vital. They did an experiment in 1951, and it's never been duplicated, never even with animals, because it was considered too cruel when they saw the finding. They took a random amount of babies. I think it was 3 dozen babies. And as soon as they were born, they took them from the mothers and they put them all in a room. They were all basically in little incubators. And they got absolutely zero human contact, zero affection. except for being fed and changed. And that was it. Guess what happened after a few weeks? Almost half the babies died.
Oh my God.
They did not get the love and affection, which is vital to humanity. We are social creatures.
Yep.
We thrive on interaction. It's not just it's literally a necessity for our immune system, our well-being, for our state of mind, for everything, for our entire energy field. So just from not getting that love and care that every baby, we all know instinctively a baby needs, even an animal knows this, they actually died. And to the point where they had to obviously cancel the experiment. It's never been duplicated, even with animals, because even to do that to the monkey or something is obviously cruel and unusual punishment and would not be able to be passed unless they're doing it in secret.
Yeah.
But this there's so much evidence that shows how damaging everything that's happening is. And I also have an autistic nephew, and he only became autistic after he got all his vaccines, and in particular the MMR. And he's been seen by the best doctors all over the world, and they all come to the same conclusion. The vaccine has a connection to his mental, his autism spectrum. And that's, people can deny it till they're blue in the face. It's ridiculous. Like, autism didn't even exist until vaccines became prevalent. There was no autism. And they try to pretend like, oh, it's just more diagnosed now. No. Now it's like 1 in 30, 1 in 40 children. 20 years from now, that's going to be millions of autistic children walking around. No.
It'll be 1 in 2. Yep. Yes. 1 and 2.
Yeah, pretty soon. That's what we're going to get. Mm-hmm. And it's almost like they want population control. But Bill Gates is using the vaccine to help everybody. He's only making trillions of dollars on the side. He's really a philanthropist. Yeah. That's why, as a philanthropist, he's one of the top 10 shareholders of Walmart, the largest
and
company.
And who?
Huh?
And the who?
Oh, yeah. He's the main funder of the WHO. But my personal favorite is when people try to use change.org as a petition platform.
Oh my gosh, I know.
It funds it. People, please stop using change.org, especially talking about vaccines, 5G, or any of that. It's funded by Bill Gates. That's why the petitions just magically disappear.
Yeah.
Unless the petitions that are promoting government agendas or the vaccine agenda.
Yep.
Please do not use that platform. It is not a normal platform. It is a it's a controlled opposition platform funded by Bill Gates. Surprise, surprise.
I know, it's ridiculous. And I've seen 3 of them go missing. So
yeah,
I can attest to that. Yeah. It's insane. So tell me the response you've had from the police.
Oh my gosh. Well, we have 2 different responses from the police. And we do our Queen's Park protests the last 15 weeks. And the response there, they're 100% on our side. There's no way you can listen to people like me and Vlad speak every week and not know what's going on. So these cops, they're sitting there, and you could literally watch them and see that they're hanging on every single word they say. So they know exactly what's going on. I know they support us. They let us do whatever we want in Queen's Park. Technically, we're not even allowed to be there. But we have DJ booths. We have we give away drinks. We have merchandise. We were selling even these cards on site. Like, they let us do whatever we want because they support us, and they know that our cause is just, and they know that we support them. We're not about defunding the police.
No.
We know that we need them on our side.
Yep.
We know they don't be protecting our community. So they appreciate that. Because the other protest groups that they have to deal with, like BLM, like Antifa, all these secretly run government organizations, intelligent operations, masquerading as protest movements, they don't like those people because they know that they're not genuine. They know that they're anti-police, but they support us. But there's a lot of people that don't like the idea of a protest. Either they're worried about their job, or they're worried about their social circle, or they're young people that just want to party and they don't care about the protests. They just care that they're not allowed to do stuff.
Yeah.
So we started throwing an after party at Cherry Beach. Because it's a public beach and everybody would go there and have beach parties. So we figured we're going to do the same thing. Well, with COVID, they started trying to shut everybody down. But to me, I said, no, to me, this is my protest. I'm bringing my same people from my protest. I'm bringing the same DJ from the protest. I'm bringing my same back to work nonprofit, my mad nonprofit with me from the protest. So I'm going to do my protest here for all the people that don't want to go to a protest. The cops came and they were told to shut us down by John Tory and Doug Ford, right in CTV. They started making all these excuses why they needed to shut down the beach. So what did they do? They started putting cop cars blocking all the parking lots. They started using the cops in Bylot to harass everyone on the beach to tell them to not go there so they could get the crowds down. But we went there anyway and we set up. They sent the cops to shut us down. I told them, under what law are you shutting us down? They tried to cite a bylaw. They're police officers, not bylaw enforcement. So I knew they were full of it. So I called them up. I'm like, we're not going anywhere. We're staying here. We're not doing anything wrong. I'm not breaking any laws. I don't need permits for any of the equipment I got. So you can't do anything, basically. They called for backup. Like 25 cops showed up thinking they're going to intimidate me. But I said the same thing to them that I said to the other ones. And eventually they all had to leave. Doug Ford and John Tory went ballistic. CTV News was talking about how they're going to come and they're going to make an example of us. So I went online and I called them out. I'm like, bring it. I'm waiting. They came two Saturdays ago. This time they sent bylaw and the police. And they gave me a bylaw infraction and then used the bylaw infraction as a jump-off point for them to have so-called credence to send the cops in to get rid of us. Once again, I called them out on their bull. But they wouldn't leave. And we had a whole bunch of people partying. So what did I do? I grabbed the mic like I would at any protest. And I started speaking. I had the crowd so rowdy and ready to like go against the cops that they pulled me aside. And they actually started respecting me. And they told me secretly. They knew exactly who I was. They've seen me on TV. They know what I'm about. So they started dealing with me. And they said, we secretly support you. It's our bosses that are trying to make us do this to you, but we don't want to. I'm like, well, you don't have to do anything you don't want to. So they stuck around till about 1:30 and then they left. And these people partied till sunrise. So at that point, I didn't know what to make of it. But I thought I made friends with a couple of the cops. I even had four of their numbers, all the way up to sergeant. That Thursday, I got a phone call, private number. And it was 51 Division, the same police division. And they had my cell number. And they called me and they said, Chris Skye, we don't want to fight with you. We want to work with you. We can't support you officially, but we do support you unofficially. So we're not going to shut you down, and we're going to treat your party like an extension of your protest. Just like that.
Wow.
I'm the only person in Canada that's allowed to actually have a party on the beach. And last week, it was my birthday a couple days ago. So we started out the week on the Saturday night with the kickoff of my birthday week party. It was raining, so we had to set up tarps, all this stuff on the beach that you're not supposed to have.
Right.
Bylaw showed up. Everybody was so scared, but I already knew. I had talked to them. So they started making jokes about who's going to give us the tickets, Bylaw or cop. And nobody was doing anything with it. And they literally just hung out with us like private security, making sure everyone was safe. Everyone was happy. They didn't bother people for drinking. They didn't bother people for anything. And they just let us have a good time. Could you believe that?
That's amazing.
Imagine that. And guess what came of it? We had an entire group of people that had good, safe fun. We cleaned the entire beach way better than it was when we got there. And you have an outlet for people that's happy, healthy, and safe when they've been cooped up all summer and being told they're going to have to stay cooped up for who knows how long.
Yep.
So how can they possibly shut us down? Answer, they can't. So now we have the after party and we have the protest both on Saturday. So Saturday is a huge day for us.
That's amazing. Good for you guys. That's, yeah. So tell me, who are some of your mentors with the accurate information that you follow?
Dr. Tenpenny, 100%.
100%.
I get a lot of my information. Obviously, all my information comes from online. I go to government websites and stuff too for the statistics and the facts.
Right.
Because they're pretty good at reporting statistics. You just have to look in the very, very fine print to find what you're looking for. Like, yeah. Go on a government website and try to find the statistic that zero people aged 0 to 20 have died from COVID in Canada. You have to click like 20 different pages, click this, click this, click this. Then you'll find it somewhere if you know what you're looking for. Otherwise, no. So everything is there if you know what you're looking for and if you know what to look for. But if you just watch TV and let them disseminate the information to you, you're getting lies. So you're basing your decisions off of ignorance. And when you do that, you're always going to make the wrong choice.
And you have to remember, too, that, you're getting bombarded from the TV. You're getting bombarded from the radio in your car. You're getting bombarded from the commercials coming through. You're getting bombarded with patriotism as they sing the national anthem behind COVID commercials. Your children are getting bombarded on tablets with those commercials as well. You're constantly thinking about fear. You need to realize that in order to wake up from it.
That's right. And that's why we can get, that's why our slogan is get mad. Because that's what wakes people up from the fear. Is
amen.
Get mad. Realize, and how do you get them mad? You give them the truth. Because when they're being told lies, and that's why they're scared, and you tell them the truth, like, for instance, not one child has died of COVID in all of Canada. Mm-hmm. They look at you like you're crazy first. And then when they find out you're not crazy and it's true, what happens? They get mad.
Yep. And or even the one kid that died that was 19 years of age, he went in with already an underlying issue, but he was going in not well.
Yeah, and he died.
He wasn't coming out.
Yes, he was going in terminal, and because he had COVID as an underlying condition, they labeled it as death from COVID. We need everybody to understand how they report the deaths. A death is recorded and reported. The main cause of death is listed as from. So if somebody gets shot in the heart, they'll say death from gunshot. Now, if you got shot in the heart, but you also had the flu, your death certificate officially will say death from gunshot with flu.
Right.
But your death will be recorded as death from gunshot. With COVID, they changed the reporting guidelines.
Yeah, so they swapped it.
Yes, they swapped it. So now any disease, any cause of death that has COVID as an underlying condition is now listed as COVID as the from cause of death. So if you had someone that died of a heart attack with COVID, they list it as from COVID and don't even mention the heart attack.
Exactly. If you have
someone that died of cancer with COVID, now it was just a COVID death and they don't even mention the cancer. It's so ridiculous that in the United States, they had a man die on a motorcycle accident and they listed him as a COVID death because they assumed that he also had COVID. Ridiculous.
It is. It absolutely is. It absolutely is. So what would be your advice to the people that say, I don't wear this mask for myself. I wear it to protect others.
You're not protecting others. You're damning others. You're protecting others when you protect their freedom of choice. When you promote the idea that freedom isn't essential, when you promote the idea that they could take your freedoms away from you in the name of safety, you are part of the problem. You are an enabler. You have to not do that. You have the only way this ends. The dumbest thing I hear from the sheep and the enablers is, we need to comply so this can be over. No.
No.
You hear the phrase, the new normal? You cannot stop the new normal by complying with the new normal. The more you comply with the new normal, the more it becomes your normal. So you have to say no, no to the masks, no to the contact tracing, no to the vaccine. If someone wants to wear the mask,
wear the mask.
If you want to go give out your contact tracing details or download the app, by all means. Yep. If you want to jump off a bridge tomorrow, none of my business.
Exactly.
But the moment you tell me you have no choice but to wear a mask, you have no choice but to download that app, or you have no choice but to jump off that bridge with me, that's what I'm going to tell you. No, I do have a choice, and I choose not to. And that's all people have to say is no. It's that simple. They're not taking anything from us. They're scaring you into giving it up.
Mm-hmm.
That's what people need to realize. So how do you stop them from giving it up? Just say no.
Yep.
Say sorry. It's that simple. But Canadians have a problem saying no. They've been training Canadians for decades to say yes to everything.
And they do it in little tiny chunks so that it's not, you can't see the big picture, right? And I mean,
people will tell you the big picture beforehand, like we have. And they tell you, this is what's going to happen. And we give them a step by step. Even as the steps keep happening, it's just like the boiling frog. As long as they're boiling you slow enough, those dumb people are not jumping out of the pot. They'll stay there. And they think they're getting warmer and they think they're chilling out and they're pointing and laughing at you. Well, you're jumped out of there and like screaming at them. You're being boiled to death. You're going to die soon. And they laugh at you, call you names and tell you that they want you to die.
Yep.
That's what you're seeing. And they're nothing but boiling frogs. Literally.
So tell me, just to kind of, we'll wrap it up around here somewhere, but tell me your thoughts on these American frontline doctors and the hydroxychloroquine and them being censored to no end. What are your thoughts? Because they've gotten rid of the hydroxychloroquine here in Canada.
Yes. And that was one of the reasons Barry and Honey Sherman were killed, because they had a patent on hydroxychloroquine.
Yep.
But what that's a whole other topic. But with these doctors, it's absolutely ridiculous because all you have on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram is these people saying, we need to listen to real doctors, real scientists. When the real doctors and real scientists come out and tell the truth, they get censored, fired, and subjugated. And if you even post their video, they will take your account down. We didn't even post their video. We posted an article where Donald Trump simply talked about those doctors. And it was taken down, fact check, as harmful information. And they said that our Instagram account could be taken down for posting that one video. And it wasn't even a video, a link to Donald Trump talking about the video.
Yep. And the funny thing is, there's a lot of doctors coming out on Twitter now in support of the hydroxychloroquine with the same results. They're not being censored yet, but they weren't a part of those 30 doctors that were in the press conference there. Sorry, go ahead.
They've been using hydroxychloroquine in France for like since the start of the pandemic with almost 100% success rate. People like that, there's no ifs, ands, or buts. They know it works. It might be a little bit toxic to the body, but if you have someone with advanced COVID symptoms and they're actually really sick, like hospitalized sick, then it's a no-brainer. You give it to them, you give them zinc and magnesium and vitamin C, and they're going to come out of it 100% of the time. But they don't want you to know that because they want you to think that all you can do is have a vaccine, which is even more ridiculous because how hard would it be for them to get a recovered type O blood patient from COVID and just use their antibodies like they did with the original vaccine for smallpox when they used the cowpox blood of survived patients. Why don't they do the same thing with COVID? Answer, they were in a lot of countries. All the so-called third world countries were using blood from type O recovered patients with the antibodies as a proven treatment / cure for COVID. But if you tried to do it in Canada, guess what? They wouldn't even allow you to donate your blood as a donor. I had a friend whose father was a famous doctor in London, but his son goes to school in Canada, so he was here. He got COVID, recovered. He was fine. He's a type O. His dad said, you idiot, call them and donate your blood. You're a walking vaccine. So his son did what his dad told him. He called to donate the blood. Red Cross said, sorry, in Canada, we're not doing that treatment. In the States,
you know why.
Well, yeah, because they don't want people treated. They want people to think the only thing they have is a vaccine.
Well, if there is a treatment that comes through, then they can't rush an emergency vaccine through.
Exactly. Because under the guidelines, everyone needs to know this. The vaccine that they're going to bring out is not going to be approved. It's not going to be fully tested. It's going to be approved under what they call emergency declaration, meaning it could kill 1 out of 10 people. They have no friggin' idea, but they're going to pass it anyway because in their mind, it's still in the best interest of public health. Right. However, they're completely indemnified from any type of lawsuit or any type of malpractice in any way. The only people that can get money is if you sue vaccine injury court, and then the taxpayers are paying the bill.
In the States, not
here. In Canada, we have no recourse. In Canada, they just tell you, sorry, you're one of the unlucky ones. And then if you tell anybody that the vaccine damaged your child, they'll call you a psycho.
Exactly. And it's funny, too, because in one of Fauci's studies, I can't remember if it's 2005 or 2015, he did the hydroxychloroquine study and found that it cured and was used as a vaccine for coronaviruses.
And so, it was just chloroquine, which is not even as strong or safe as hydroxychloroquine. And that was 15 years ago where he approved this. Exactly. So the idea that they don't have treatments, they have multiple treatments for COVID. Multiple. Mm-hmm. But they want you to believe that they have the vaccine because the vaccine is the best thing for them. Because when the vaccine comes out, they can mandate it without mandating it because they can rely on private companies to do it. Because if you want to go to the sports stadium, it's not the government mandating it. It's Scotiabank Arena or it's the Rogers Center saying, sorry, we can't have thousands of people that aren't vaccinated. So how many people will go get a vaccine just so they can go watch LeBron James or go watch the Leafs or go watch friggin' their favorite concert? Many will.
Oh, I know.
I'm guessing at least 25% of the population would be willing to get a vaccine just for that or travel. And that's insane.
It is.
I traveled around the world. I went to 36 countries. I would travel like once every month if I could. And everybody would ask me, why are you going to all these places? I'm like, because pretty soon you're not going to be able to travel anywhere. and people thought I was crazy.
Yep.
But
and that's where we are.
Exactly. And do you think it's getting any better? They didn't even our border closure was supposed to expire on the 29th for our international border. I can't find anything about it anywhere. It just expired, but they never extended it. They never officially let it expire. So now it's all up in the air. We don't even know. But I had a friend that was supposed to come here for my birthday party, and she was coming from Europe, and they denied her. And she had an appointment to see a doctor here and everything for a procedure, and they still denied her. And she had a quarantine plan written up and everything. So they, but even their own laws, they should have allowed her entry and then forced her to quarantine. They took her entire plane ticket back from her. And they said she had an electronic travel authorization. She had the confirmed appointment with a doctor. She had her full quarantine plan, everything ready for them. They said she needed to call and make a special request, which is ridiculous. Ridiculous.
Wow.
They basically have carte blanche to do whatever they want to you.
Yeah. Yeah. People need to wake up and actually see it for what it is. There's no reason there needs to be a 2-year emergency.
Not even close. The emergency ended in April.
Yeah. It should be extended month by month. And even now, nope.
They're never going to let us open. They're going to keep us on stage 3. Then they're going to relock us down in the fall with a so-called second wave. Because guess what? If you're a healthy person in the summer and you wear a mask for 3 months for 8 hours a day, especially the way these people are wearing it, they put it in their pocket. They don't even change the mask for the entire day. It gets clogged and it gets contaminated in like 20, 30 minutes. So if you're not sick and you're wearing this mask, all you're doing is lowering your immune system, increasing your carbon dioxide intake, decreasing your oxygen intake, and basically exacerbating every underlying condition you have in your body that you don't even know you had and making it worse. Yep. And above all, you're lowering your immune system. And
in the fall, so as soon as the cold weather comes in.
Oh, my God. Normally, your immune system goes from here to here in the fall, and that's why everyone gets sick. When your immune system's already down here because you've been wearing a mask 3 months and then the cold weather hits, we're going to have the harshest flu season we've had in a decade at least. And guess what they're going to blame it on?
Anti-maskers.
And COVID in general.
And COVID.
Use that as their excuse to ratchet up the restrictions and lock us back down and close the businesses. And when all those businesses reclose, they are screwed. Small business makes up 70% of all our jobs in Canada. So if they close half the businesses, they're going to have our jobs. And those aren't coming back. Those are people that were stable and independent, and now they're collecting CERB and completely dependent on the government. So if you're completely dependent on the government and they say, you want your paycheck, you're going to download the tracing app, or you're going to wear a mask, or you're going to take the vaccine, how can you say no if you need that money to feed your family? Answer, you can't. So what are they trying to do? They're trying to put as many of the so-called former middle class to a new class of government dependent. Why? If you're dependent on the government is no longer your servant. The government is now your master. And that's exactly what they're seeing. They're giving us all these laws and rules, but they're exempting themselves from them. So they're already setting themselves up as the elites, and we're the ruled. We're slaves. And they're slowly whittling away our rights. And the last one, the medical freedom. When that goes, we got nothing. They already took our right to work. They already took our freedom of assembly, our freedom of travel. What do we have left? Nothing. Our medical freedom, hanging by a shred. And they're trying to put that out from under us as we speak.
Yep.
Terrifying.
Well,
are aware.
Yeah.
And they're waking up every day thanks to people like you.
And you.
Well, I have no platforms. So the only way people hear me is when people like you do interviews and post me. I don't make any videos myself. Every video of me on the internet is a video somebody else took of me or with me. There's one I make myself. So that because I know they try to take away my platform. So my only platform is other people.
Yeah. Well, we're here for you. Thank you. I know the great work that you do. I've seen most of your videos, and I wanted to get in touch with you for a long time. It's just been a crazy, hectic kind of few months trying to stay on top of the corruption, right?
Yes, and like I said at the start of this, we're just being spread so thin right now.
That's the goal. There's many of us, but we're dispersed, right? Which
we're trying to change. We do a live chat now every Friday with Dr. Ken Penny. We're going to be doing it 8 weeks in a row. And me and Vlad are basically coaching others around all different parts of Canada and even the U.S. to basically emulate what we're doing. Because we got hundreds of groups like us all around, and they're all linked. That's what we need. We need our own woke army. One woke person is worth 50 sheep. Because the sheep won't act, and the sheep will just do what they're told. But one awake person will act. They will do what needs to be done. So they're very powerful. And that's what people have to realize. People have to realize that there is hope. People have to realize there's plenty of people within the government, the police, and every walk of life that is staunchly against lockdown, staunchly against the removal of our rights and freedoms. And even if they don't say it publicly, they're feeling it, they're thinking it, supporting it. And that's what we're tapping into.
That's awesome. That's very hopeful for a lot of people, I'm sure. But yeah, you do find that. And I get that with a lot of doctors and nurses, which is phenomenal. I get messages weekly from them saying, this is ridiculous.
Yeah.
You know,
more people are speaking out every day because they get the courage, right? Because it gets to the point of ridiculousness where it's like, okay, what can they do to me if I tell the truth now?
And right.
It's getting past that point where like the cat's out of the bag now. Only the really compliant and really trusting are still brainwashed. Everybody else is like already waking up.
Yep.
And the movement is building quickly.
Yep.
Because
exactly.
Everybody wants to see what's coming.
Yeah.
And it's like something out of a movie. Literally, 1984 doesn't even begin to describe it. Because Orwell had an imagination of like a prophet, but even he couldn't imagine what the hell's going on today.
Yep.
He'd be impressed. If he was alive today, I think he'd be impressed.
With himself? Yeah, for sure.
What you're doing. He'd be like, wow, you guys are doing even better than I thought you were.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. So where can people go to sign up for this course? Is it Baxter.com?
Okay. That is on Dr. Tenpenny's website. If they go to drtenpenny.com, she has it's like a seminar that we're asking people to sign up for, and it says it's 8 weeks long. And it's every Friday. It's a 2-hour-long chat, so people can go in as long as they want, hear what they need to, and leave. It's always recorded after, so people, if they miss it or they only were there for part, they can go watch it. But it's going to be very informative because we give people the tools they need, the information they need, but we tell them how to get that information out so it's effective, so it's not falling on deaf ears, so they can organize. Because that's what we need. They're very well organized. They're very well funded. They're very well coordinated. Look, they did this all worldwide like that overnight. Yeah. So we need to have the same type of mobilization. We have something that they don't have, necessity. They're doing all this basically because they can. They already have all the money in the world. They just want the power, so they're never challenged. But for us, this is our life. This is our everything is on the line, so we have no choice. One person fighting for their life versus a guy trying to subjugate that person, I'll go with the guy fighting for his life 10 times out of 10.
Me too. And tell us again about where they can find your organization to get a hold of you.
You can find me on Facebook at Chris Sky, SKY. I'm still banned for another 5 days, but I'm coming back. I got like almost 1,000 friend requests waiting for me and hundreds of messages that I haven't been able to check. I feel so bad for everybody because everyone probably thinks I'm ignoring them. We're on Instagram. Me and my wife have a shared account. So it's at meet, M-E-E-T, .the.skies, S-K-Y-S. And then you can find my group on Facebook, MAD. And you can find my other group on Facebook, Back to Work. And Back to Work is at www.backtowork.bz. And MAD is www.getmad.online. And for our private school initiative, anybody in the Ontario area who's interested in A, offering up a location in the GTA that they think is suitable, could be a home, office, church, etc., offering up their teaching skills or want to offer up their children, you can email privateschool@protonmail.com. Simply privateschool@protonmail.com. And me or one of our other administrators will get back to you to figure out where you can fit into all this. Because those are our main initiatives. Stop the masks. Stop the contact tracing, stop the vaccines, and eliminate social distancing from our lives, starting with the schools and the assisted and public and private care living facilities, and expanding that to the workplaces and everywhere else.
Yep. And people can find you at Queen's Park this weekend?
Every Saturday, we're at Queen's Park, 12 to 3. Me and Vlad are two of the main speakers that speak every week. We always talk about our initiatives. I give out the face mask exemption cards for free to anybody who shows up that's never been to our protest before. And then Saturday night, we're at Cherry Beach. And they can find us. There's a secret pathway right to the party from 275 Unwin Avenue. It's the Cherry Field Soccer Field. And they have a nice big bike path. And if you just follow the bike path right to the end, you'll hear the music and you'll find us.
Well, I can't thank you enough for joining me today. It was awesome to talk to you. Finally, I've been looking forward to this. So thank you so much for all your information. It's fantastic.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. Like, honestly, it's great. I was looking forward to talking to you for the longest time.
Oh, thank you so much. And if anybody's looking to donate to the Legal Challenge, you can go to vaccinechoicecanada.com. Anything donated is going to Rocco Galati and his Legal Challenge with the federal government, CBC, Doug Ford, TAM. Who am I missing?
Mandatory vaccinations, masks. I fully support everything Rocco's doing. I think he's a fantastic guy. I've been trying to get him to come out to Queen's Park because everybody there wants to talk to him. Apparently, somebody called him and said some unsavory things about me to him that made him not want to come out. Like, trying to give him the impression that we just wanted him there so we could use him for some type of publicity or to gain attention. No, we're trying to gain him attention so we can get him the support so we can get people to go to your website and put the money required to make this thing happen. But I don't know what they said to him. There's a lot of people that are after me and they go online.
Well, because you're out in the public, so you're the one to nail. And I get that 100%.
I hope he can put, I don't know what they said, but I hope he can put whatever differences aside, because I tried to tell him we're all in this together. We're all fighting for the same thing. And all I wanted to do was get him out there so I can help people figure out who he is, get him some mainstream media coverage so all of Canada knows what's going on, and so we can get him the support he needs. We know that's going to be a hundreds of thousands of dollars lawsuit. It's not some gold.
Rocco's a machine, and I can't see him buying what people just tell him, or he wouldn't be in the position he's in either, right?
Exactly.
So he's an amazing man.
He's definitely an amazing man. He's a warrior, and I support his efforts 1,000,000%. And I admired everything he was doing, and that's why I really wanted to get him out there. So I hope he changes his mind. I hope he comes, because there's so many people waiting to hear from him.
Yeah. Yeah. He's a beacon of hope for a lot of people right now. So.
Exactly. And every initiative that's in lockstep with us, I support it 125%.
Awesome. So. Awesome. Well, thanks again so much. It was great talking with you, and I won't keep you any longer. I'll get going here.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Have a great day and enjoy the rest of your birthday week.
Thank you. Hi, everybody.
See ya.